all to stand up during the sermon, but they would think we were a bunch of Pentecostals. But anyway, we're glad you stood, and we're glad you sing out, and what a wonderful day it is to be in God's house. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, come, let us go into the house of my God. And this is the day, as that song suggests, that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice, and I will be glad in it. You and I are blessed to be able to see this first day of December 2024. Think about how far we have come since Y2K. Can you imagine? Here we are on the brink of a new year, 25 years almost beyond the beginning of this century and this millennium also. And it is great to be a child of God. And if you're visiting with us this morning, we want you to know that we're certainly glad that all of you are here to worship with us. And we hope and pray that something said or something done would be that very thing that would encourage you to want to come again. It is a time for us to renew our strength and to love our God. You ever thought about it? This is one of the ways that we show our love to God is by coming together collectively and praising His holy and majestic name. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 24 and 25. So we face today a new month, a new day, a new date, a new chapter, a new page, new wishes. And so we welcome this great month of December. And it is filled with numerous activities. We are a busy, busy church. We are, and that's great. You know, the idiom of the day is that the eyes have it. You know, when people are generally voting on various issues, they either say that the eyes have it or the nays have it. I want to talk to you about the A's or the eyes this morning, if you will. And my question is this, do the eyes have it or do they not? You know, some of the most important idioms we find in the English language. What is an idiom? Actually, an idiom would be, let me just give you an example. Have you ever heard anybody say, it's raining cats and dogs outside? Well, it's not really raining cats and dogs outside. Or what about this one? Money grows on trees. We know that money does not grow on trees. Or what about pull yourself together? Or perhaps he's on the fence. You may not really be on a fence, and you may not really be pulling yourself together, but in reality, it is used as an idiom. What about these? Sit tight. Shake it off. Shape up. Why, running on fumes. My wife would tell you that when I drive, that's a truth. But anyway, it really isn't. What about getting out of hands? That's an idiom. Or that's a no-brainer. Or it's a small world. People use that one a lot. What about, well, blow me away. Or hit the books. Keep your chin up. Blow off steam. It's amazing when you look at the dictionary, or you could go to the internet and do this, that I have done, and find how many words end with I-S-E or I-Z-E, the eyes. I want to talk to you about the eyes here this morning and some things that we should not do. We should not fictionalize the Bible. You know, there are a lot of people today that believe that the Word of God is nothing more than a fiction. And sometimes people say, well, it's perhaps the biggest fictionalized book in all of the world. But that, my friend, is false. That itself is fiction, isn't it? To say that the Bible is not the authenticized Word of God, and that it was God-breathed, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, is just simply fiction itself. I've seen signs like this that said, warning, the Bible is a work of fiction, so don't take it literally. And so when you don't take it literally for what it says, then you are fictionalizing, if you will, the word of Jehovah God. There was one I saw that said exposure warning. Exposure to the contents for extended periods of time or during formative years in children may cause hallucinations or delusions, a decrease in one's cognitive ability, objective reasoning abilities, and in extreme cases, pathological disorders. It causes hatred, bigotry, violence, including bad but not limited to fanaticism, murder, genocide, in danger to your mental health and life. Now, isn't it interesting that those who fictionalize the Bible actually believe this? But in contrast to that, the Word of God teaches love, doesn't it? The Bible teaches us that God is love and that we are to love one another, 1 John chapter 4. And by this men shall know you're my disciples. That new commandment, Christ says, I give unto you that you should love one another as I have loved you. So in reality, the Word of God does the very opposite of what is depicted here before you. I am thankful that the Texas Board of Education voted, and the ayes had it, to approve Bible curriculum in elementary schools. Amen?
Amen.
I am thankful unto God for that taking place in this great state of Texas. That even makes Texas greater. But some look at the Bible and say, is it fact or is it fiction? Many fictionalize the Word of God. A word on fiction and nonfiction. We associate nonfiction with reality, truth, and facts. Fiction is with false, made-up lies and stories. That's what fiction really is. And the Word of God is not fiction. The Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good word. Now, the Bible says of itself, when Paul was writing to Timothy, he said, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, the fictionalists, having itching ears, they shall turn away from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. The Bible is much, much more than fabulistic. It is. The Word of God came from God. There is no fiction, none, in the Bible. You can read the book that we call the Holy Bible, the Old and the New, all the way from the book of Genesis down through and inclusive of the book of Revelation, and you will not find anything that resembles fiction at all. But in John 17 and 17, Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth, for thy word is truth. And it's not by accident that Christ is called the way, the truth, and the light. Listen again in John 8 and 32. To those who might believe that the Word of God is fiction, let me share with you what John 8 and 32 says. It says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It is the truth that liberates us. The truth does not bring you into slavery. Biblical truth is what is right. It is not sugar-coated. If you want that, go get donuts, as I've suggested. But secondly, don't fictionalize the Bible, but don't mischaracterize the Holy Scriptures. What you ought to do is to memorize the Word of God and prioritize the Word of God and then go evangelize with the Word of Jehovah God. Some distort truth by saying it doesn't really mean what it says. Who are we to be able to take the Bible and read what God says, and then to be able to delineate, to get rid of it, to discord, or change in any way what God actually says. You see, Jesus in the book of Matthew 24 said that heaven and earth may pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Peter said the grass will wither and the flower will fade, but the word of the Lord will abide forever. David said, O Lord, your word is settled forever in heaven. The Bible speaks for itself. And even though there are those who try to mischaracterize what the Bible actually teaches, the Bible is not just something that is man-made, but it is something that actually was breathed by God. How do I know that? 2 Peter 1 and verse 21 is certainly that which bears record of it. Peter would say, For our prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of Almighty God breathed into the hearts and to the minds of those who penned the sacred word of Jehovah God. Do you know that in the last 50 years or so, there has been a trend in the religious world? There used to be many preachers who were considered hellfire and brimstone preachers. And these men taught the gospel with a real passion. And there was something urgent about what they were saying. I was watching the national news this morning, and they said that there had been an upswing in religion. I think come January 20th, there's going to be an upswing in a lot of things in America, folks. Changes that we haven't seen in a long, long time. But we have so many people today that fail to realize that the Holy Word of God warns us of demonic spirits, and it provides for us deliverance through the Christ who came and died on the cross, as David mentioned a moment ago, and it is something that we need to discern and do it every day. Some people look at the Bible and say, God, you surely didn't mean that. You surely didn't mean that. Some people read the Bible and say it's archaic. That is, it's out of date. It's for old time. It's not for modern man. I'm telling you, the Word of God, Solomon said, there is nothing new under the heavens. That the Word of God is still the same today and will always be, as is Jesus in the book of Hebrews 13 and verse 8. For Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And I will tell you, based upon 2 Samuel 6, and you read those 11 verses there, you will find that God means precisely what He says. You don't have to worry about whether God really means something or not. God says something, I believe it, and that settles it, someone said. But you know, I like it this way. God said it, that settles it. It settles it whether I believe it or I don't believe it. It settles it whether you mischaracterize the Bible or you fictionalize the Bible. God says what He means, and He means what He says. In the book of Isaiah 55, He says, My ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Well, let me bring you to another one. Number three, don't randomize Jesus being our Savior. You know what? There was nothing accidental about Christ coming into the world. Some people think that. Some people think that God sent Jesus into the world. They didn't listen to Him, and so they crucified Him. The word random actually is an adjective, and it means to be chosen without method or conscious decision. But Revelation 13:8 says the opposite. There is nothing random. Think about it. Nothing random. Not with God. The thing you are passionate about are not random. You have chosen those thoughts. They are your calling. God created man in His own image. Genesis 1 and verse 27, and that was not a random act. And the church of Jesus Christ was not an afterthought. People ask me all the time, as a preacher of the gospel, do you believe that God knew man was going to sin? Absolutely knew he was going to sin. Did he know that Adam and Eve would partake of the forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden? Absolutely. The Bible even says that Christ was the Lamb of God that was slain. Now notice this. At some point in time. No, he was slain from the foundation of the world. He made us. He made Adam out of dust. And the Bible says, you and I will return to dust. You can't prevent it. You can embalm a body. You can do everything in the world that humans perhaps are capable of doing. But God says you will return to the dust of the ground from which you came. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, that's Christ, because we have a triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Those three, and they are one, they're not the same person, but they are one in purpose. All things came into being through Him, and without Him, not one thing came into being. You see, nothing's random. What has come into being in Him was life, and that life was the light of all men, or all people. Think about it. You know, people talk about success today. Success is based upon teamwork and focus and work and creativity and passion and vision. Did you know God uses us as a church to accomplish His will? He gives us a vision. He tells us to stay focused. He tells us to work, to be creative, and to have a passion about who we are and whose we are. But let me bring you to another eyes that doesn't have it. Don't ritualize worship. You know, when we come together, it is for the purpose of worshiping God. And John, the 4th chapter and verse 24, the Bible says that God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And notice what John says here. He says, for such doth the Father seek. God wants those of us who worship Him to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Don't ritualize. You know what it means to follow rituals? Rituals are man-made. People just go through rituals. They're doing it. Sometimes it happens when we take the Lord's Supper. And David, I appreciated your words a moment ago, reminding us of what we were about to do. But you know, sometimes people take a piece of the bread and they drink the fruit of the vine and it's all over with them and that's the end of it. But that is not the end of it. That is not the extent of it. But some churches just simply go through ritualism. They burn incense. They do all kinds of things. Don't just go through the motions. And that, my friend, is what we're talking about. But remember that when we come together, we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And number five, don't trivialize or secularize the church. You know, sometimes people say, well, I can accept the Bible, but I just don't believe that the church is that important. And so we try to secularize the church to make the church in our image, instead of in the image of God. Do you know that the Lord God designed the church? He gave the blueprint. He tells us exactly what He wants, how He wants us to build it, how it is to be structured, and then He tells us what our mission is. To trivialize something actually means that you minimize what it is. It's not very big. It's just trivia, you know. or you secularize it. You make it like everybody else. That is not what Christ came to do. He did not come into the world to trivialize the church, nor for us to secularize, to make it in our image, but to accept it for what it is. To trivialize it means it is of no value at all. But in Acts 20 and 28, the Bible says that God purchased the church with the blood of His dear Son. And He did. And the Bible also, in the book of 1 Corinthians 6 and 20, the barcode says that you were bought with a price. And that was with the blood of Jesus. You remember the lame man that was laid at the beautiful gate? And he was asking alms, and Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." He shed His blood. Later, Peter would write to the church, and he would say that you were not purchased with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb without spot. Notice again what Luke records in Acts 20 and 28. "Take heed," he's speaking to the elders from Ephesus down at Miletus. And he says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock," that's the church, "over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which He hath purchased with His own blood." Nothing in the world could purchase the church of Jesus Christ short of the blood of our Lord and Savior. In 1 Peter 1:8, "For you know that it was not with perishable things like that silver or like gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life being handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus, a Lamb without spot." Someone remarked one time, "Don't go to church," and I don't know how many of us get up and say sometimes, "Well, where are you going?" "Well, I'm going to church." But you know what? You don't go to church. You are the church. You are the church. We are. As children of God, we are the church. Hebrews 10 and verse 29. "How much more," listen to this, "severe punishment do you think He will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant," and that's the blood of Jesus, "by which He was sanctified and has insulted the Spirit of grace." Brings me to another. Don't minimize the power of the gospel. Effectualize the gospel. You know, the gospel is such a powerful thing, isn't it? And we say it means the good news, and that's what it really means, the good news of God. And the gospel is the power of God to redeem man based on Romans 1 and verse 16. Paul said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation," or for salvation. That's what the gospel is. And when Paul would later write to the church at Thessalonica in that second epistle, he would say to you who are troubled, "Rest with us when the Lord Jesus Christ shall be revealed from heaven in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ." That's why the gospel is so very important. We tell people, you know, it's important that you obey the gospel, lest you be lost. Paul, no wonder Paul would say, "I'm not ashamed of it. For it is the power of God to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Don't underestimate the power of the gospel. Don't minimize it. Because it is the gospel that turns the sinner back to the Lord. The eyes do not have it. Brings me to another. The only thing that we can do in a relationship with God that brings about our salvation is not just belief in Christ, but to be baptized. Isn't that what Christ taught? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. What does it mean to baptize? It means to put in water and to lower in water and to raise one out of water, just like happened to Bill here a few days ago when he wanted to become a child of God. He said, I want to be baptized. I want to obey God's gospel. I want to do what is right. And people ask the question continually today, is it really that important for one to be baptized? If Christ said it to me, it's of grave importance. Listen to what he said in Matthew 28 and 19. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. God is asking us this morning to get rid of the fictionalize, minimize, scheme that men have conjured up. And he asks us to visualize the hope of heaven and internalize what has been said and let it be actualized in your life. And the question this morning is, will you prioritize Jesus and his commands and obey him? And if you're not a Christian, you're not prioritizing this book or the one who gave it. And one who really wants to prioritize does not say, why do I need to obey the gospel? But when can I do it? When can I do it? Immobilize Satan and give your life to Jesus Christ our Lord by coming this morning to confess him as the Lord and Savior of all mankind. Repenting of your sin. That's how you actualize it. And by acting upon what Christ said. But that is a choice. It is a decision that God has given unto you. But maybe you're here and you're a Christian and you've already obeyed the gospel, you've been baptized, but how are you living? Are you living consistent with the will of God? Or maybe this morning you need to revitalize your life as a Christian and ask for the prayers of the Lord's church here while we stand and while we sing.